It's another edition of the Falls Cast brought to you by the Falls Free Press in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio, where today, Tuesday, October 20th, it is rainy, just like yesterday. It's, it's a drizzly fall day. So it is what it is. I don't want to say that phrase, though. It got ruined.
It did.
Sad.
Yes. Lame.
So lame.
So we are here with our roundtable discussion. I am your moderator, Alex Hall, and we have some of our favorite Fallscasters here with us today for this, our 20th episode. We're very excited. First of all, we have our friend Bart Sullivan.
Hello.
We also have with us once again Kathy McMenemy.
Hello, everybody.
And back with us again is Stephen Mule.
Hello.
His hair is just beautiful right now. The mane is just luscious.
The beard is going strong.
It is. It's gorgeous. I wish the listeners could see this right now.
We'll post a picture.
I'm blushing. Nobody can see.
We also have with us my best friend, Mike Searle.
Hello, everybody. I hate you, Alex.
And Mike's lovely and talented wife, Suzanne Searle, is with us once again.
Hello, everybody.
So, this being our 20th episode, we have nothing special planned. Although, Bart pointed out that our next episode, we could drink beer legally. So, we might have to do a craft beer special or something like that. That might be fun.
No underage podcast drinking.
Well, I guess Patrick's still underage, but barely, right? So if he's here next week, he can keep us all honest.
Uh-huh.
After our roundtable discussion today, we will have Bart's interview with Ruben Ryan of PNR Improv, which I have to tell you, if there is a king of the mutton chop in Cuyahoga Falls, it is most certainly Ruben Ryan. The guy's got epic facial hair. Really.
Is it better than Steven's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's better than my... I mean, my beard's getting pretty long. But
yours looks like a squirrel just stapled to your face. That's all.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Thanks. Perfect. Ruben's got some... I mean, he's, even Elvis would be like, damn, boy. That was my Elvis. That was pretty good.
So,
stay tuned after our roundtable discussion for Bart's interview with Ruben Ryan of Point of No Return Improv Troupe, who I guess are maybe just doing stuff online right now, Bart?
Yeah, for right now, they are doing Facebook Live shows, and it's on Facebook Live and Zoom.
Are they still doing it at the theater out of Quirk?
No, not right now. I mean, they plan to, at some point. But as we talk about in the interview, Ruben feels more like, let's just play it safe. I'd rather everybody stay safe and let's just do online shows for right now than, even if Quirk is open. And I guess Quirk isn't open very much right now as it is. So, you'd get in there like one night for an hour and that's at most. So rather than do that, let's just, do free shows online.
Yeah, it's crazy how some, even, big famous rock bands and stuff are doing all these, online shows. And if you go watch them, it kind of robs them of some of their, celebrity mystique, because they're, in their house, playing their guitar with headphones on. I don't know. It strikes me as funny.
I want to know how they get around the slight delay in between, because everyone's at home at different houses. There's going to be a slight delay between different instruments and the vocals, and how do they get the timing down? That must be tough.
Well, they pre-record, so they say what song they're going to play. Somebody plays to a click, and then they send that track to everybody else, and then they record their parts.
So it's not live.
Yeah, some bands are doing live stuff. The band I'm playing with right now in Cuyahoga Falls, the Moderns, we have been doing some live stuff together. There's actually, we're going to be doing a live stream on October 30th. So, I mean, some bands are getting together and doing stuff live, but I think the stuff that you're seeing where it's like people in different locations, it's definitely all kind of pre-recorded, which I don't know. I mean, I've seen some stuff like that. It actually turned out really cool. And we're seeing all kinds of unique and like weird stuff that we may not see otherwise, like the little girl who challenged Dave Grohl to a drum battle, and then he wrote a song about her, and that was actually, that whole thing was super cool. So anyway, before we get started here, I just want to let everybody know that we do continue to produce articles. So head on over to fallsfreepress.com to read some articles in an appropriately sized font about the Front Street planter art installation.
No, it's too small. I can't adjust my font.
Courtesy of Bart Sullivan, as well as his review of The Mothman Legacy. Just in time for Halloween, guys. Are you guys going to go to the drive-through trick-or-treat event?
No.
Is there candy? Because I will go.
Yeah, there's candy.
Ooh.
You might have to have a kid, though.
Yeah, I'll have to borrow a kid for that. Yeah. And steal the candy when they leave. Kick him out of the car. Give me your candy.
We just finally got the last pieces for our costumes, our family costume, which we do every year. The last 3 years, we've gotten trophies at the big Halloween extravaganza.
Brag.
Hey.
Not to brag.
We take it seriously. We have a rivalry with our friend Sarah Banzoff, the Green Girl.
Yeah.
It's been a couple. There's been.
I've been seeing her on Facebook. I think you might have some competition.
I think she's concentrating more on her house this year than costumes. But that remains to be seen, because of course everybody's going to be in their car and they're going to.
Yeah.
You have to submit pictures. Yeah, you have to submit pictures of your kids. And actually, they don't even have a family category, so we'll probably submit a picture with us in it, but they'll have to judge it without us. Which I don't know if it'll work quite as well, but whatever. Happy Halloween, everybody. We will be back one time before the big day, but not before the drive up event that's happening this Saturday, the 24th. So check out the Parks and Rec Facebook page for info about that. All right, let's jump into some of this stuff. You guys ready?
No.
Kinda.
So there's a ton of COVID-19 related stuff this week. So what I want to do is kind of stay on this topic, but look at several different things separately. So we'll treat these as separate categories, but they're all related to COVID-19, unfortunately. But, you know, one thing is that we may not have started podcasting were it not for COVID-19. So I suppose that's one good thing that came about as all this. I guess I just didn't expect us to be doing it 20 weeks later and still be in the middle of the pandemic, which sucks. But in any case, the first thing is that Summit County Prosecutor Sherry Bevan Walsh recently went through a difficult fight with the coronavirus and even had to be hospitalized. She said she had taken all precautions and had no idea how she got sick. And she said that dealing with her recovery was worse than when she was recovering from chemotherapy that she underwent for breast cancer 5 years ago. She apparently had a bad cough, a fever, and an epically bad headache that lasted 5 days, which sounds like torture. She started feeling symptoms in mid-September and is still actually experiencing shortness of breath and fatigue. And so she was talking about this in a Zoom call with the press. So, you know, people are still getting the disease, and we see it all the time. Cases are still going up. You guys know anybody who has had it? Does anybody know anybody who has had it?
Yeah, I do. He got it early on, when it really, really started to hit hard. And, you know, he's probably 48, not old.
It's kind of crazy to see, you know, public officials like that getting the disease. I mean, you know, we obviously saw President of the United States get it, a lot of people in the White House and people who are close to the president, in addition to, you know, having some local people, local officials, people in the Senate and all over the place getting it. So, you know, I guess hearing about the Summit County prosecutor getting it, not a huge surprise, but I have to say, when I first heard about it, and I heard about it before the article came out in the newspaper, it did kind of like bring it home a little bit in a way that I hadn't really felt before.
Yeah, I mean, my boss's son went to a wedding out in California, end of February-ish, and came back, you know, thought he had the flu, whatever, nothing big. I mean, we didn't know as much, you know, as we do now, but he's in sports in college. And they tested him, and he found out he tested for the antibody, or positive for the antibody. So he had it, didn't even know he had it, you know. So my boss doesn't know if he had it. You know, a lot of us, before we started any of the lockdowns and quarantines, we don't know if we even had it. I have another friend. She had a pretty bad go with it. She didn't have to be hospitalized or anything, but she's still suffering some long-term effects. You know, hair is falling out in clumps, the brain fog, shortness of breath. And that was about a month ago, you know, so she's still battling with that, and they don't know how long that's going to continue, or, you know, it may continue for months or forever. Who knows?
Yeah. It's crazy. The diversity of like symptoms that people get too, you know, some people don't feel different at all. And I've never heard the hair clump thing. So that's a new one for
me.
Even
that was different. Yeah. I didn't hear about, I haven't heard about that one either, but you know, that's the only thing they can attribute it to right now, is that's the only thing that's really changed in the past like 6 months. So,
yeah. How do you guys feel overall about the disease right now? I mean, there's other stuff we can talk about, but I feel like we've been dealing with it for long enough now that it's easy to kind of have your attitude change about it. Steven?
Mortality rate seems to be not as bad as it was, because we actually kind of figured out how to treat the disease. And they're waiting longer to put people on vents, and they're giving them steroids. And steroids seems to be a good way to combat initially, to keep people from having to go on respirators. So I think they're figuring out how to treat it once you have it, but there's still, if you get it, the likelihood of having the side effects like we just discussed is still just as high. So you may not die of it. It might be less likely you'll die of it now, but you still just as likely, if you get it, to have brain damage or heart damage or lung damage or hair falling out and all the other terrible things that can happen to your body. And, you know, they really don't have a full idea of who gets what and why, because it's a novel virus. They're still figuring this. They're probably going to be decades before they figure it all out. You know, it's bad news. It'll fuck you up.
Yeah, to Stephen's point, I was reading something that John Hopkins put out, some research that they found another possible mechanism of how it infects the cells and whatnot. And basically, if they could stop that or interrupt the process of it infecting the cells, you know, it would possibly, you know, halt the organ damage, the tissue damage, everything else from it. So it's like, yeah, you'll still have it, but the symptoms may not appear, because yeah, you'll be a carrier, but it never fully takes effect in your body. But I kind of think everyone's getting burned out of it. You know, I mean, we're all getting tired of dealing with all the crap, but we have to do it. You know, I mean, until there's that vaccine or some better treatment plan, you know, we all have to suffer through this. I mean, I'm tired of not going out or being able to go out and do, you know, big groups of people and do this and that, but you know, we have to do what we have to do.
Yeah. I think that actually moves us pretty effectively into the second point under this COVID-19 umbrella, which is that Summit County Public Health is asking the community to keep their guard up as it relates to the coronavirus, what with cases increasing in the county. They're saying that the per-day cases are up to 40 to 50 per day, when we were seeing 10 to 20 per day in June. They say that the community spread can be attributed to private gatherings people are holding against the recommendations of the health officials. And those same health officials sought to remind people to continue wearing masks and social distancing as much as possible, and to remember that 40% of people infected are asymptomatic. So you might feel well but be contagious. Plus, you could test negative and contract the disease the next day. So, you know, there's not a lot of security in you know, what's going on with the disease as far as like how it's affecting us as people. You mentioned somebody traveling to California, and I thought one of the things we could kind of talk about, a couple of things we could talk about, I guess, actually. I mean, this morning I was talking to somebody and I said, you know, I haven't seen anybody without a mask on for a while, it seems like. And then this afternoon I was in a gas station and there were three people with no mask on and two people with masks on half-heartedly, you know, and that's being generous. So, I mean, there are still plenty of people who aren't wearing masks. And then the other thing are these social gatherings. My mother moved to Monroe Falls from Cincinnati. And over the weekend, somebody catty-corner from her house had a wedding. There was like a full-size circus tent set up in their backyard with the flaps around the sides. They had a DJ bumping in there, you know, the whole nine. I mean, cars lined up and down the block. And I only saw about half the people who came out of there wearing their mask. Now, that's not to say they're not wearing their mask inside the tent and then coming out for a mask break. But yeah, I just don't see it. Yeah. So what have you guys seen as far as people not wearing masks or people having unapproved social gatherings? Steven?
Well, Jennifer and I are guilty of seeing our parents, my dad and her parents, and not wearing masks when we're sitting at a table having dinner and spending time with them. So we're definitely endangering them and ourselves. But we do see them often, so I don't know, maybe they're extended bubble. I don't know, maybe we're just blowing smoke up our own butts. Anyway, we were at Martha's Vineyard this weekend with my in-laws, and I pulled out from the parking lot, and I look over, and there's this crowd of, like, literally 15 or 20 or even 30 people, and they're all, like, gathered around, like, a real tight group.
Do you mean Sarah's Vineyard?
Well, the one across from Blossom, whatever the hell.
Okay, you said Martha's Vineyard. I was like, you went to the East Coast?
My bad.
Like, yeah, damn traveler.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Now you're a super spreader, man. Come on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was right there in the middle of the parking lot. There's like 20, 30 people, and they're all just drinking, hoo-hoo, laughing. I'm like, man, I was like, there's a super spreader right there. And then, you know, but for most part, when people they abided by the rules, that was the exception when we went there. Everyone else, when they were walking around, unless they were sitting at the table, had their masks on and they wore them. Mm-hmm. And in Costco, we went to Costco. Everyone was wearing it there.
Costco is not messing around, man. I mean, you can go online and find all kinds of videos of people getting thrown out for not wearing a mask. They don't even let them in at Costco, and they don't care. I mean, I actually really appreciate that about Costco.
Yeah.
Driving home from a friend's house, we saw them this weekend. We were social distance. We were drinking, driveway drinking. Anyway, on the way home, I went down Front Street. It was like probably like 10:30 at night. The bars close at 11 now, I think.
They stopped serving at 10, yeah, but I think they can close at 11.
There's a bunch of people standing outside, and nobody had a freaking mask on, not a single person, and they're all gathered around like 15 people, you know, sitting out in the patio. So I was like, well, I don't want to go there.
Well, that's the problem. You know. I think a lot of people think that you're outside, you don't need to wear it. You know, even, you know, you can all be huddled around a table, you know, within a couple feet of each other, you know, but, I'm outside, so I'm safe. And you're not.
a good thing, MacArthur's brew house significantly expanded their outdoor patio, and they have like big heaters, which looks very cool. And Darby's on 59 now has these cool little funky like plastic bubbles.
Yeah, they're geodesic domes.
Yeah, I saw those.
So we ate occasionally on, you know, we try to sit on patios. Only time we've eaten in once inside was Sheraton Suites in the bar. Mm. It was for our 25th wedding anniversary. We got a fancy hotel room it was nice. You know, river view, jacuzzi tub, high. You know, and then we had a nice champagne. Dinner and then drinks. And
we saw your pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, the tables were far apart, and it's got a huge, tall ceiling. But still, we were indoors, and people aren't. You know, it is what it is, man. If you want to enjoy life, you're going to have to take chances, and that's unfortunately that's the way it is. You just have to gauge whether it's worth it or not.
You know? And you limit your risks. You know, you don't compound your risks on top of each other. You know, it's like, yeah, you may roll the dice a little bit, but.
And every time I touch something, I have my, you know, antibacterial stuff and I squirt it in my hands. So I'm always doing that. I wear the mask when I get up. So I follow the rules, but we definitely fudge here and there just because just tired of this shit, man.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter, she is now home for the semester. She goes to College of Worcester and they had, I think about 3 days ago, about 61 positive cases that came up, and they all were able to pinpoint it to a certain super spreader event where kids decided to get together and have a little party. So College of Worcester decided to stop all in-person activities and in-person classes. So we just brought her home. It wasn't worth it. I mean, to pay for a dorm and room and board for her to stay in her dorm. So, unfortunately.
And you can only visit one person besides your roommate, you know.
Yeah, and you weren't allowed to leave campus, so you couldn't even go to the store if you wanted to. You weren't allowed to eat eat anywhere in the cafeteria. You had to have a grab and go and take it back to your dorm. They were saying that you weren't even allowed to eat with anybody else other than your roommate because you take your mask off to eat. So they were completely locking it down.
That makes sense, but you know, that completely sucks all the fun I've had being in college.
It makes sense. I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, my older daughter, completely different experience in University of Mount Union. I mean, they aren't doing random testing. They aren't, you know, they know how many positive tests they're having, but they're not really shutting anything down if they get, you know, a spike in it. College of Worcester was just not messing around, but yeah. So we had to go and, we weren't even allowed to go in there to help her move out in her dorm. She had to go pack everything up herself and then bring it down. And so she's completely out. We have no idea whether or not she's going to go back next semester or not. I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, they don't know.
So. They don't know. They don't know. So
I don't know about Patrick, but I know that Gabriel, he took a semester off. He's back at Kent. And there's no in-person classes for him.
Yeah.
This entire thing is all online. And, you know, he's a double major in music and psychology. Psychology classes aren't a big deal because there are a lot of more lecture classes, so it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, the singing classes, I mean, you know, he can't perform in somebody. He can't go to a teacher and have in-person lessons. And how the fuck are you supposed to do that on Zoom? It's not going to work right. You know, that's tough. You know, sucks.
It does.
And the classes are just as expensive. They're not cheaper.
You know, right?
Nothing's prorated or anything.
Nothing, no.
Yeah, they're no.
Kathy, what's going on? What's Patrick seeing?
So he's still remote right now, but his classes were remote this semester anyway. The classes he was scheduled to take were supposed to be, you know, normal on campus classes, but they ended up being all remote.
Yeah.
He's a commuter anyway, so he wasn't living on campus to begin with. So,
yeah,
it's still real.
It is still real.
I mean, nothing has changed from March until now. I mean, we don't have a vaccine. We do have a better understanding on how to fight it, but people are still dying at unacceptable rates, in my opinion. We don't know what's going to happen after you get it. I mean, you have, you know, heart problems, you're having lung problems, you have the mental fog issues that people are having. I mean, losing your hair, I mean, for goodness sake, you know, it's crazy. It's still real. And I think that a lot of us are getting kind of just used to living with wearing your mask, going out there and getting a little more comfortable with it. And it's not just you put your mask on and then you are perfectly fine. I mean, it's not 100% effective of trying to prevent you from getting it. It helps. It's a good preventative to help the spread of it, but you could still get it even if you're wearing a mask. You don't know if the person next to you is, you know, not wearing a mask and spreading it to you, or, you know, whatever. We just are just getting a little too complacent, I think, and the spikes that are happening, I think, is kind of proving that we are. And we're just going to what, a third? Is this the third? Does anybody know we're in the third wave, or are we on the second wave, fourth wave? Where are we now?
Well, yeah, I sort of was wondering too about what you guys are seeing as far as mask wearing. Steven talked about that a little bit. And like I said, I saw some people in the gas station just today, not really complying. But for the most part, I feel like I was starting to see a lot more people wearing masks. Not as much controversy about that particular piece, at least not with the majority of people. There are obviously some particularly vocal opponents to safety health measures, but
Mike and I saw somebody without a mask at the store yesterday, which was kind of shocking because majority of the time we go out, we do see masks. I know that when Mike went down to help Kaylee move in Worcester, he went out and saw a bunch of people walking around what, Lowe's without a mask. My daughter in Alliance sees people without masks all the time. You know, she'll walk to, you know, the store to grab something, and yeah, they're not wearing masks. So I guess maybe it depends on where you live.
It's been a while since I've seen anybody in a store not complying with the mask mandate, but I'd say about 30% of the people have the shit hanging down over the under their nose. Like, what's the point?
We have, as a group here, I mean, we create a podcast together. We write articles and promote our community run effort to provide, you know, free press style media to the community here. But we also are friends, and we get together sometimes, a bunch of us, and we generally try to do social distance, you know, hanging out on the driveway or whatever. It's getting colder. It's a lot easier to kind of just want to be like, well, let's, you know, go inside. You know, I have to admit, like, friends of mine who come around, we don't always observe the safety measures, but, you know, if Mike comes and has a beer at my house, there's not 20 people in my house. You know, we're not having weddings in the yard, or anything like that. So, I mean, I think that probably we're all guilty of it to some extent. It doesn't help that there's an election on, and a lot of people are really charged up to volunteer to help their favorite candidates win the election and stuff. Doesn't help that there are, you know, crazy lines for early in-person voting. There are going to be crazy lines on election day. So I think everybody to some extent is probably guilty of flouting. Is that the word? The precautions for the coronavirus. But, you know, I think it's good that Summit County public health officials were, you know, taking steps to just try to inform the public that we need to continue to be just really cautious, because this is a dangerous disease. It does kill. We've seen, what are the numbers now? Like, it's got to be, what, 210 or something by now?
It's 220 something, yeah.
220,000 some odd people dead. I mean, that's crazy. I think I heard a statistic at some point, and it seems like this was a while ago now, where there were more people had died from the coronavirus than had died in, like, Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, and Korea or something like that. I mean, it's just insane.
Yep.
So we do need to continue to be careful. You know, in addition to the issues that we've had, as far as, our own health and people being, you know, difficult as far as following the safety guidelines and stuff. Obviously what's going on is creating huge economic problems, in the country, but also in our local community here. Another business has fallen victim to the pandemic here. Retro Dog, which is the drive-in restaurant there at the corner of Wyoga Lake Road and Steele's Corner Road, has closed its doors after 8 years, citing the pandemic having compounded the business's years of struggle due to location and seasonality. And as of Sunday, the restaurant was closed, and we can only guess what will go in next. A lot of people on social media were saying that they hoped for a Sonic or a Swenson's to take over the location, which might be more lucrative. You know, this has happened a lot in our sort of greater community, but in Cuyahoga Falls in particular, Retro Dog is one of the casualties. You know, we actually, for the Falls Free Press, did a drive-in shootout last summer, I think it was. We were never able to publish those results, but we found that RetroDog actually had some of the best food. We were all, yeah, I think, pretty surprised at how good the food at RetroDog was, because a lot of us were expecting to be, you know, real fond of Swenson's, or like BK Root Beer Stand. And RetroDog was actually some of the best food we had that day. So it's a real bummer to lose them. And then conversely, while we've lost RetroDog, BK announced, BK Root Beer Stand there on Monroe Falls Avenue, announced that they're actually for the first time ever going to stay open all year this year, because of the situation with the coronavirus, which hopefully will help them stay afloat through the year here. So we lost RetroDog, we gained BK year round. What are some of the other businesses that we've lost? I know we temporarily lost Craft Beer Bar, and then it was the Butcher and Sprout who actually bought them out and reopened it. They actually put a really cool little patio at the end of Craft, right where their extension like conference room had been. They put that in there. Have you been in there, Steven, since they reopened?
I ate in the patio twice, and I've been inside the building, but we haven't eaten inside yet. It's nice. The food's different, different menu. Beer selection's still just as good, but now they have cocktails and they have wine too, which I don't think they really had much of that before. So they definitely expanded their, you know, repertoire.
Yeah, and they changed the name from Craft Beer Bar to Craft Social, so I guess that's kind of correct. The excuse.
Yes. We've also eaten at Butcher and Sprout outside recently too, like in the last month, and they have a limited menu. There isn't a lot on there that I can eat, but the food's good. They have a decent beer selection, not like Craft, but pretty good, and they have great cocktails. So,
how else have we seen businesses affected during the coronavirus?
I think we're going to see a lot of closings in a matter of time. I think it's going to start hitting soon.
Trying to think, because I mean, I know we lost Pabs for a minute, and then it came back. But I think that was under different conditions.
I don't think it was all due to coronavirus necessarily, although it probably didn't help. We've seen a lot of those businesses that were initially like closed altogether, take paint, you know, go to great lengths to be able to open back up. There's probably not a whole lot of economic development down there, although we did see the Gourmet Popper, which used to be in Chapel Hill Mall, open up on Front Street.
Yeah, but Chapel Hill Mall is going down the tubes anyway.
Yeah, that's not necessarily having to do with COVID.
No, that had nothing. Yeah. I just mean, like, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same place. Initially, I think people were like, why do we need two popcorn places? But the Gourmet Popper apparently has
they're sandwiches expanding a little and
stuff. Yeah. So they're not just popcorn. Because if they were, it'd be like, how dare you compete with Metropolis, the Cuyahoga Falls sweetheart of small businesses in many ways.
Yeah, Flurry's is still doing a good business. We actually ate at Flurry's the morning after our night thing at the Sheraton. Yeah, and they're there. I mean that. You know, they're difficult to social distance inside that place because it's tiny.
It's tiny.
And they don't have a lot of tables to begin with, and you start cutting tables out, then they do have a couple tables outside now, but those obviously are going to go away when it starts getting colder.
Yeah, I worry what their business is going to be like come winter.
Yeah, I think they did announce they do takeout now. My two kids work at Longhorn, and their to-go section has tripled. Their business has tripled for to-go since COVID.
Yeah, with services like DoorDash and Grubhub and Uber Eats and even like Postmates, you now have a situation where you can order basically anything for delivery.
Or even El Maison just added a new, I mean, I don't know how long they've had it, but they have an online ordering capability now, which is pretty much their full menu.
Yeah.
And unlike before where you could view it, but you had to call in the order, now at least you're able to, you know, order online, no charge, whatever, just go pick it up and you can pay for it and everything.
Well, and so that kind of does bring us to the kind of this fourth point that I had under coronavirus stuff here for this episode. And that is that one of the positive effects of coronavirus is that we can now get cocktails to go from our favorite restaurants. Mm-hmm. The pandemic had created the need for bars and restaurants to be allowed to offer cocktails to go, but this was seen as a temporary measure to allow businesses like that to stay afloat through the shutdown. So now the governor has actually signed bills into law that are going to allow to-go beverages of an adult nature, which is to say boozy ones, to continue after the pandemic is over once and for all. So that law will stay. The law is going to allow customers to order up to 3 drinks to go with a food order, but the drinks must be sealed and cannot be consumed on the premises. I feel like that you're going to see like a lot of like, let me get a side of chips and 3 margaritas because they have to order food.
Happens.
And we have to keep in mind that bars right now, they have to stop liquor sales at 10 p.m. They're limited to how many people can be inside. So these new laws actually also will allow bars to expand the areas where they will sell liquor, as well as areas where people can drink on site. Part of the reasoning here was that an ice cream maker who makes booze-infused flavors wanted to be able to ship directly to customers and stores where liquor is sold. And there were some additional provisions as well, including allowing micro distilleries to sell 4 750 milliliter bottles per customer instead of only 2. So if you wanted to get locally made whiskey or vodka from a micro distillery, which I didn't even know there were such things, you could now get 2 of them instead of only 4. So I mean, I don't know. I suppose if this was like 1922, this would not be seen as a positive. I see a lot of people getting takeout from El Mason, which is what made me think about this part, because you guys mentioned El Mason, and a lot of margaritas coming out of there on Friday nights, you know. So that's one positive side effect of coronavirus. If you want to get Mexican food DoorDash,
get hammered at home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and even it's not in Cuyahoga Falls, but the Tiki Underground up there. Is that Hudson? Probably Hudson. Might be Boston Heights,
Peninsula,
but it's, I think
Hudson,
it's, yeah, something yeah. like that. They have a big business of like making like Mai Tais and all those kinds of drinks. That's one of the things that they did early on was really, really push those to-go cocktails if you follow them on Instagram or on Facebook. So
can you get a 750 milliliter margarita?
I mean, I've certainly been to Mexican restaurants where you can. are you guys all gonna get some to-go cocktails now or what?
Yeah, we might try it. Cashmere Cruffin has fantastic some fantastic mixed drinks, you know.
Oh, man, you and Jen introduced us all to those those crazy little samplers that they make there on those big welded things that Bart's dad made.
That's what I'm thinking about. I'm craving some of those.
Well, there you go.
Hey, no, I'm changing the subject just a little bit. Has anybody tried papaya salad?
Yeah. It's a pretty decent Thai food. I love Thai food, largely because being a vegetarian, it's one of the things, that I can get a lot of things on a Thai food menu. Papaya salad's pretty good, but, the two best Thai restaurants that I have come across, one is, Bangkok Thai in Stowe on 91. It's right there by the dry cleaners and the little get-go. Used to be a chocolatier. Now it's a Thai restaurant. Very good. And then there's a place in Kent also right by the Acme on 59, kind of up on that hill. Also one of the better Thai restaurants. Did you try papaya salad, Stephen?
We've had it about 3 times now. We found that some of the dishes are okay, but some of them are fantastic. Particularly the green beef curry is fucking awesome.
That's high praise there.
Well, was it good? Was it okay?
It was really good. And you had to be careful if the dish is spicy and you ask them to make it spicy, it's like face melting. Yeah, it's hot.
And
so
toilet
melting. If it says a little pepper next to it on the menu, don't order it spicy unless you like hot food.
It's cool to have Thai food in the falls. We should do a review of papaya salad. I also noticed there's a hibachi place that opened up on Monroe Falls Avenue right by the Circle K in that little shopping center. It kind of looks like a hole in the wall, but it just says hibachi, and I didn't hear anything about it on Facebook. Yeah, it just kind of appeared. So
do they do sushi?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, usually those hibachi places have two things, like fried rice type dishes, AKA hibachi, or sushi, or both, you know? So,
yeah, I've always liked hibachi places, but I'm allergic to sesame oil. And they cook with that stuff on the grill, and they put it in their salads and the salad dressing, and they put it on the rice. So, I mean, yeah, so it's like 3/4 of stuff in that place. I can't eat it. It'll literally kill me.
Well, if they sell booze, Steven, you could get up to 3 drinks delivered with a couple of fortune cookies.
So my wife could order the food, and I can just get the booze.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
That would probably make her sad, though. She'd probably steal my drinks.
A couple of orders of plum wine and some
taste tester.
Some fried rice.
She's tasting for it.
We discussed last week that the printer the Summit County Board of Elections and actually 19 other counties in the state had contracted with was having trouble filling the orders for absentee ballots because they were having a hard time keeping up with the demand, which has been triple that of non-pandemic years. Delayed absentee ballot receipt was the result. So the board is ending their contract with the printer and handling the requests themselves from now on. The contracted service was actually originally meant for handling the many ballot requests that they would receive early on, but the board was apparently always going to fill ballot requests themselves, so now they have to begin that work in earnest. Who among us, I guess, asked for an absentee ballot and got it? I got mine and have returned it.
My dad has asked for his, and he got his, but I have friends of mine that have... I'm still waiting on theirs. And one of them just said they just got on the notification that it's delayed again. Jennifer and I and Gabriel, we all voted in person this past week. We did not ask for our absentee ballots. We went in and just did it in person. It's about an hour wait. Got there about 8:30 in the morning. Yes, and everyone was wearing masks. And everyone was – they had a little tent outside, big-ass tent. And they had 6-foot distances. And there was actually – wasn't really a line to park. And we found a parking spot right away, but there was a big ass line waiting to drop their absentee ballots off.
Got the ballots.
And there was a big line of cars for that. So I had to wait through all those cars just to get into the place so I could park. But yeah, I mean, that was 8:30. It was quick. The line went fast. It kept moving.
That's how ours was. We got there around 9:00 and we were out by 10, no big issues.
Yeah.
And I think Kendall, got her absentee ballot, I believe. And so
I did overhear somebody said they had requested an absentee ballot and then they got tired of waiting for it. And they went in there and tried to vote in person and they gave them a provisional ballot. They gave them a provisional ballot. They let them vote, but said, obviously
I've heard if you decide to change, if you come with your absentee.
Oh, okay.
You can vote in person.
He didn't have it with him.
Yeah, and I know, Kathy, you and Patrick had said that you were going to go on election day to your polling place.
So we're planning on going Friday to vote early.
Oh, you are going to vote early, okay.
Yeah, that's the plan, because I took off election day, thinking that I was going to go election day, but I kind of worry about there being, like, an abundance, too many people and, delays. And I do not want to take a risk of not being able to vote. And I'm not a fan of the absentee voting and dropping off and like waiting for them to mail me a ballot. So we're just going to go early.
Yeah. And the cars, I mean, the wait, to drop off your ballot. I mean, if you're standing at the Board of Elections, you're on Grant. Cars were actually backed up coming the one direction from Exchange all the way out onto Exchange at some of the worst peak hours, and then going the other direction it was pretty bad too. Luckily there are ways to kind of cut through that so that you don't get stuck in the traffic, but it's pretty bad. Bert, what are you guys doing?
I have already voted.
Did you vote in person or absentee?
Yeah, I dropped off the absentee ballot at the Board of Elections.
Cool. So yours, so you got yours pretty early after they started mailing them?
I got it about early last week.
Okay. Yeah, I think we probably got ours then about the same time. Well, if you haven't gotten yours, hopefully it's on its way if you requested one. If you didn't, you can go down and vote provisionally. I think that the fact that they've terminated this contract with that printer means that they're going to be making sure that they get all those ballots out. Now is our weekly reminder of important information regarding voting in this year's elections. Remember that absentee ballots, again, they should be on their way shortly if there aren't already, because like we discussed, the volume of requests has been making things a bit slow because of some malfunctions and some other things. So hopefully yours is on the way. You can vote by mail through November 2nd, but you can also vote early in person at the county polling place next to the Board of Elections on Grant Street in Akron. Once you receive your ballot, you can fill it out according to the instructions and mail it back, or you can drop it off at the Board of Elections, again, on Grant Street in Akron if you want to wait in that line of cars. But they do have, I mean, you can go after hours and drop it off in the drop box. There are cameras that watch the drop box, and it's emptied in the morning by officials from the Board of Elections, one from the Republican Party and one from the Democratic Party, so that it's, you know, it's all on the up and up. October 31st is the deadline to request an absentee ballot. I would not recommend waiting until Halloween Day to request your ballot, but that is the deadline. And then November 2nd is the deadline to have your absentee ballot postmarked, so you got to get it in the mail to be postmarked on the 2nd for your vote to count. And then November 3rd is Election Day, and the polls are open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., absentee ballots must be received at the Summit County Board of Elections by 7:30 p.m. You can hand deliver your absentee ballot if you so choose. And again, voting is really just so important. I mean, this is a crazy year, what with the pandemic and everything else that we've been dealing with. Really important that we get out there and vote. So make a plan, make your voice heard, get your vote out there. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Right.
And now it's that time again.
No. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Parts Arts.
No.
The art department?
The BART department.
It could be time for so many other things.
The BART department. I like that.
It could be time for Animaniacs. I don't know.
They are totally insane.
Animaniacs.
Yakko, Wacko, and Dot.
I thought he was going to announce he had a fart or something.
Go for it, Bart. What's going on down there? I drove by the planners, by the way.
I'm sorry, I can't follow that.
Excuse me.
So, not a lot has been happening in the arts this week. Early last week, DeWine stated that the remainder of the CARES Act funding he hopes to give to nonprofits, small businesses, and particularly the arts. So, movie theaters still shut down, but performing arts theaters, this might help with help actors who have been out of work for quite some time now. So, but then again, you know, Monday he came out and said that Ohio is, you know, no one's following orders. So who knows? Yeah.
Real quick, I saw something that you could rent out an AMC theater for like $99.
Cinemark's doing the same thing.
Oh,
how many bucks?
Really?
99.
Like 99.
I think it's a little bit more at Cinemark, but I mean it's about the same.
So like for for one auditorium, it's $99.
Yeah, and so you can have, I can't remember how many people are allowed in the group, but you can either pick a movie that's at the theater, or you can bring a DVD and watch have them play the DVD.
Whoa, that is so cool.
I would imagine you'd probably be better off being at least a 4K version of that DVD with like terrible on that big screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, real quick. What movie do you want to watch in the movie theater that you have already seen since they'll let you bring in a DVD? Quick, Bart.
I would probably try to find a Blu-ray version better than a DVD of Howard the Duck.
Yep, knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Cleveland.
But it would have to be a Blu-ray because the DVD is just, you know, it's that 80s VHS quality.
Isn't that, that seems fitting for Howard the Duck, though.
No, you got to see it in all its glory and see how horrible the costuming was.
What about you, Mike?
Matrix.
Yeah, I was thinking of Matrix, too. That'd be sweet. And they're making a Matrix 4 right now, which is insane.
Yes, 2021. And it comes out the same day as John Wick 4, I think it is. Hmm. So
you can still see all the Matrix. You can stream all
the matrices.
The matrices. You said
yeah,
it right.
Matrices, yeah. Yeah, that you can stream all of them on Amazon Prime right now. So.
Oh, he has all of them.
I have them.
Yeah, we have them. Yeah, it's on the shelf. Yeah. What about you, Steve? What would you watch?
I don't know, man. That's tough. I have a New Hope, probably Star Wars.
New Hope quality.
Yeah, I was thinking Star Wars too. I wonder how long they let you have the auditorium for, because I'd love to watch like a TV series that you've never seen in the theater, you know?
Yeah.
Like watch like the first season of Dexter or something, Breaking Bad. Yeah.
I'm looking at the Cinemark page and it basically says a runtime length varies. Host your own screening for up to 20 guests.
Okay.
And it says $99 to $149, but now they have certain theaters that it's starting down at $50.
Wow.
I think we should chip in and go do this, man. Let's go pick a movie and go watch it. It sounds like a good time.
I say, do they have the concessions? Like, I just want the popcorn.
Well, hell, you know, we'll slip in some flasks.
No, that would be illegal, Steven.
Oh, no. Don't tell anybody.
Suzanne, what would you watch?
Stuff like that.
What would I watch? Oh, you guys.
Oh,
Titanic.
No. Oh, my God.
Oh,
what?
Really?
God.
Come on.
No, I agree with that.
Thank you. No, Titanic.
Now I know I'm going to freeze to death while holding onto a damn door, even though
I would have kicked you off a long time ago. Yeah,
no, as long as the theater does not turn the air conditioning on like they did when the movie first came out.
Yeah, make you feel it, yeah.
Kathy, what are you going to see?
I don't know. Probably a horror movie, I would think, or a concert or something.
Well, that's a good
idea.
I think
a concert would be fun to watch.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Oh,
yeah.
That's a great idea. Like, you could like watch like the Queen performance from Live Aid or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, all right. Figure out the details. We'll chip it in. Oh, what would I do?
What's your movie?
Well, like I said, I think it'd be cool to like be able to watch a TV series, something like Breaking Bad, or even like, you know, it's a couple like really good episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something. But I suppose if I have to choose a movie, since Steven already said A New Hope, I've seen the movie WALL-E about 1,000 times, but I don't think I ever saw it in the theater. And it's such a great movie. And I wrote about it in my dissertation, or maybe it was my master's thesis. So I know the movie so well, and it is such a great movie, even for adults, even though it's animated. So I think I would probably choose WALL-E.
Blade Runner, the first one and the second one, back to back.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yes. That's a great choice. Yeah, or like the original Dune. Yeah. The original Dune would be really cool.
Dune. Yes, the original Dune.
I feel
Dune.
Like this is going to be like a dude night. You guys got to give me something.
Princess Bride. If you want, we do Princess Bride.
I love Princess Bride. I would watch that. Absolutely.
Meh.
There you go.
Bart got that stuck in my head. Thanks, Bart.
We had Kaylee watch because she needed to write a paper of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. So I'm just, well, it sucked, yes. But she had to compare Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie to Twilight, and she had some kind of theory about it. So
okay,
she
I
want to
read this paper.
I will see if I can get it for you.
We will forward it to you, Bart.
Yeah, so she had she had to watch it, and I did not watch it. Mike
Lost
had to sit
Boys.
There and watch.
What? Lost Boys.
One of Paul Reubens' greatest roles.
Yeah. Lost Boys.
One of what was that part?
Paul
One
Reubens.
Of Paul Reubens' greatest roles.
Yeah, that's the soul redeeming quality
the
of the
dying
film.
Scene.
I was just about to say, apparently for $99 you can get a group of people to go see Space Jam in the theater.
No. No, I won't do it.
How about Spaceballs? Let's watch that instead.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
Picture show.
Yeah, sure. Rocky Horror.
I have never seen it, so I will. Rocky maybe Horror this would is, be great. Yeah. We're on to something now. Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's good.
Rejoice. Yeah, you know they're gonna put out another Indiana Jones movie. I just watched the original three.
So old though, man. How could I mean? He's not.
Well, I watched. Like, so
supposed to take it up.
I watched the original three, and then I watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which has Shia LaBeouf in it. And it's not a bad movie, but
he
like
supposed to take over the role.
That's
then?
What I thought. Yeah, he was supposed to.
I think that was the idea. Yeah.
You see, but he's controversial now for some reason. Like Shia LaBeouf is.
He's all into like the super art of making films and performance art, and so I mean the commercial movie like that. I don't really know if that's up his alley anymore. Even.
Yeah. And it's been so long since Crystal Skull, just because he had it once.
I liked it. I didn't think it was bad.
I liked it too. Crystal Skull is pretty fun, but you know, Shia LaBeouf is like revealed as his son. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So I mean, you know, at that point, it's like kind of married to that concept there. But you know, if anybody can pull it off, it'd be Spielberg and Lucas. So I see. I guess.
Absolutely.
All right, Bart, you were going to tell us about the Halloween tour.
Yeah. So that's the other thing I have is the Spooktacular Halloween Display Tour all around Cuyahoga Falls. There's still time to register, but they already have 55 displays marked in their map.
Wow.
Wow.
And so that was just as of yesterday. If I'll post the link in our show notes, but it's at the city website. They have a page for this.
I've seen some really epic like Halloween displays at these houses. There's one down like 23rd Street or something like that. That's like all like Steven Spielberg themed. They've got like a kid in a yellow rain jacket with a red balloon. Says we all float down here. It's like a bunch of different like Stephen King themed stuff. Have you guys seen any good ones?
Seen a couple, but I can't, you know, just I don't remember where they're at exactly. Just driving by going, holy shit, look at that.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a really cool one with like, I think it was like a horse skeleton and like a skeleton like on the back of it.
Yes, it's down there on Washington.
Yeah.
It's the house that does all the inflatables normally, but yeah, they have the skeleton and yeah, they keep adding new stuff every year.
There's a digital map on their website that you can zoom in and find, you know, like pick a street and just look for the marker and it'll tell you the addresses of all of each individual one that's registered.
I feel like these inflatable things have gotten even better over the years. Like now I'm seeing like these dragons and like the head and the wings move and stuff.
Oh, our neighbor has that and it actually moved. And it was funny. I don't know if you guys watch. You guys don't. I mean, maybe I need to talk to Kathy right now because she's my female here. But there's a YouTube YouTuber that does makeup, and she does Monday mystery. And so she'll do her makeup, and then she'll do a mystery. Yesterday she did the Moth Man. Was that the article that you just wrote?
The Mothman.
So she discussed that, and so they were talking about the red glowing eyes, and you can kind of see the dragon when it moves its red eye in the window. So we were like turning off the light to go to bed, and you could kind of see the red eyes, and I went, oh, Kaylee, oh my gosh, look! I pointed it over there, and she's like, oh, don't do that to me. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it's, you know, you walk and you just see it kind of move, and I don't know. That's all. Sorry. End of story. But...
right on.
Cool
well,
story,
right
bro. On.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro. There's lots of awesome Halloween stuff happening in the city, including the drive-up event that's happening on Saturday. And now you can go check out all the awesome Halloween houses.
Who is doing trick-or-treating this year? Is anybody actually handing out candy for a trick-or-treating day?
Want some candy? No,
I'm not. I mean, the last couple of years we haven't done it anyway, because
you get a lot of people over there. And no, I mean, it's...
well, I mean, some years yes, some years no. And we used to do it every year when the kids were younger. And then as we got older, we decided, well, we want to go do adult parties on that night, and so we'd make Gabe stay home. But now Gabe's time nowadays Gabe doesn't want to hand out candy anymore.
Way to go, Gabe.
Or he's working, so you know we don't want to leave the basket out. I think that's just lame. So
yeah, because you know not safe. They only take one piece.
One kid
know.
Comes and just dumps it in the bag.
I mean, we don't even carve pumpkins. I've always thought of Halloween as an excuse for adults to dress up in slutty outfits and party.
I like my slutty outfit.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. Me too. But
Mike's going to go as sexy Freddy Krueger.
Sure. You know, or whatever, man. You know, it's just about having fun, going out and being an adult and having an excuse to dress up and hang out with your friends and drink. It's a good time. Yeah. Or it's a kid's holiday.
Are you guys dressing up? Is anybody dressing up?
No.
No, we don't normally.
We're going to dress up.
I might put little kitty ears on or something like that, put little whiskers on for the kids.
We're going to dress up and stay home and stare in the beer. Point at each other, yeah.
I would love to hear any listeners' ideas on how to do a social distance trick-or-treating. I've seen a couple YouTube videos and other people that are getting really creative, and I know we have a lot of creative people in Cuyahoga Falls, and would love to hear anybody's idea on how to shoot the candy out to the kids and stay 6 feet away. So
candy catapult.
I've seen some cool shoots, PVC. Like big tubes that people like put stuff down. Our friend Tara Banzoff, we were talking about earlier, she's got a cool video.
Yeah, I saw hers. Yeah, she has that where she has little lights on it and like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are thinking about it. So if you're listening to this, please comment below. You see me pointing down below. Your cool social distancing idea for trick-or-treating. Let's save trick-or-treating. Hashtag let's save trick-or-treating.
Hashtag save trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank our listeners for joining us this week. If you have an idea for someone you think we should interview, drop us a line at falsefreepress@gmail.com. And remember that we're always in the market for article submissions too, which can be sent to falsefreepress@gmail.com. For now, I think we're going to say goodbye, and we hope you'll join us next week. Don't forget to get your plan together to vote. Pick out a badass Halloween costume. Go through the drive-thru at, or I guess, go park at BK and get a hot dog or root beer or something. Order yourself a couple to-go margaritas and a side of chips.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
And this has been our 20th episode, so we want to just thank everybody again for listening. We'll be back next week, and I'll tell you all about my family's Halloween costume. We'll see what Mike's going to dress up as. And
kinky.
And just, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Bart's interview with Ruben Ryan from PNR Improv. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Please vote.
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 Vote. Vote. Wear your mask.
And we're back. This week, we have Ruben Ryan from Point of No Return Improv. Mm-hmm. Welcome, yep. Ruben.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
In the world we are today, it's hard to see, you know, that theater still going somehow. But Point of No Return has been going for quite some time now, hasn't it?
Yes, actually. Last year, I actually, at the beginning of this year, just before the shutdown, we had our 18th anniversary show. PNR has been going on for a while. We are currently continuing with some virtual programming. We're not doing as many performances online as we used to do in person, just because it's I don't know if I actually have a reason why not, other than the fact that there was an adjustment period where we were like, well, we gotta figure out how to do this online, and it's different. It is a different experience. I've been doing actually a lot of theater stuff online right now. I'm also I work for an organization called the Center for Applied Drama and Autism, and we do theater with people who have who live with disabilities. We recently did a show over the a couple months ago called Mario's New Friend, which was written by one of our students. And let me tell you, doing a show online is it's different. It is a unique and challenging experience.
Now, with that show, was everybody in the same place, or was it like multiple Zoom windows all together?
Multiple Zoom windows. Everyone had their own frame, so to speak. We used virtual backgrounds for it. Had a green screen up behind me. All the other actors did as well. And we would change to the same background if our characters were in the same place. It was honestly quite an interesting experience working in that way. Learning how to act with inside a frame as opposed to on a stage is different. It's also different than acting in front of a typical camera as well. Just because of the way you connect with other actors and the audience is very different. Like if you're in front of a camera, you're normally in the same room as someone, so you're still connecting directly with that other actor. But over Zoom, it's this very different thing where, like, at best, it's like now where I'm looking at you through my screen and you're looking at me through my through your screen. And so, like, we have to, it's like an extra level of focus you have to do to connect with another actor. It's different.
So for those who have never seen a PNR performance, whether live or online, how would you describe that to people?
Okay. So Point of No Return is a short to medium form improv troupe. And essentially what that means is that we primarily play improv games or structures like you would see on something like, and I don't know if this reference is too dated now, but like on Whose Line, I think that's still going on.
It's still going on.
It's still on. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
The same actors are on it, too.
Yeah, except they have Aisha Tyler now because Drew Carey's busy with The Price is Right. I'm glad to hear that, actually. I'm very happy to hear that's still going on. But yeah, it'd be something we would play sort of games, sort of like Who's Line or Nick Cannon had an improv show on MTV for a while. Or like one of those types of shows where there's basically a short form contained games that are sort of like watching a skit that runs off a certain formula. And then we sort of take information from the audience and put it into the game and create a unique experience that people haven't seen before. Ideally, it will be funny. Just trying to hopefully make people laugh. If you've never seen improv before at all, and you've never seen Whose Line It Is Anyways, just think of it as people on stage doing skits they did not write beforehand. That's kind of what it is. And like I said, we would do like a short form games, which would be, if you watch Whose Line It Is Anyways, short form would be things like the props game or Hoedown or Do Ron Ron or just any of those types of very short games that get a nice little laugh from the audience. But we do more medium form improv games as well. And essentially what that just means is that the structure is designed to last a little bit longer and to expand on whatever the concept is more.
Yeah, I think the last couple of shows that I went to, you guys had a lot of stories that lasted almost the entire half of the show.
We've been doing a thing where in the second half, we try and do a little bit more long form, just because it's, once you get to a certain point in doing improv, it's kind of like, well, I've played these games a million times. What's the next step? And the next step is normally long form, where you're just, as a performer and an artist, trying to create this more, what's the word I'm looking for? A more cohesive whole. It tells more of a story. Okay. Essentially.
Yeah, I imagine there's only so many times you can play to Do Run Run before you've just, you know, it doesn't matter what the call out, you've exercised everything.
Eventually you've done every rhyme. That's the thing with us with Do Run Run, is it is a rhyming based singing game, so eventually we're going to hit every rhyme. Yeah, and eventually Richard will win again. just because he is really good at that game.
How many people are in the group right now?
Right now, a lot of people are on hiatus. Right now, in terms of our core virtual team, and like anyone who's already in the group is welcome to come join us for virtual rehearsals. But currently, we're around 5 or 6 people doing virtually. We do have a number of other players who are currently on hiatus. Because I'll be real, not everyone adapts to virtual, to the Zoom performances. It took me a long time to get into doing it online. I had to go through, I was doing it for months before I was like, okay, we can put this in front of people. Just because it's a huge adjustment. It's a huge adjustment. I am hopeful that in the future, we will be back on stage because it is a different experience and it is where my heart is. But like, I don't want to get to that point too soon either.
Yeah, I think the Quirk Center is open now, but I mean, we all, like most of Ohio just turned red. So yeah. Even then it's still kind of iffy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, my understanding of the Quirk situation, and they could have changed this from when I last heard about it, is that they are open on Tuesday and Thursday for 3 hours.
So not really available to use the stage.
Not really. I mean, I guess we could try and come in there like during whatever those 3 hours are, but I'm not in a hurry to do that.
No.
The Quirk's theater is big enough that we could reasonably get a normal sized audience in there with social distancing. But it's just not a thing I'm in a rush to get back into. Don't get me wrong, that is my passion, my heart. It's where, like, doing live performance is what I love to do. But I'm not about risking other people, essentially. And I'm a very cautious person. I'm pro caution. And right now, honestly, the virtual stuff's fun and it's free. We're not charging anyone to see us virtually. So I actually, you know what? I don't know if you had if there's a specific part in the podcast where people plug things or not. But
go right ahead.
PNR will be having a virtual show on the 24th. We'll be broadcasting it over Facebook. If you want to be involved, though, and like give call-outs, people can actually join us in the Zoom room. I've had to take some measures to make sure that we don't get Zoom bombed again, because that has happened. Nothing too bad. Just some people came on and they kept playing some what appeared to be Mexican music or something. I don't know. Like it definitely had a cucaracha type, not cucaracha, a mariachi type vibe to it. But they kept playing. We had to slowly just like. It was more than one person was the thing. So we had to like kick them out one at a time. It's very disruptive. But I have since learned that it's possible to have people in the Zoom room and not allow them to talk. So we're not.
Yeah, I think there's a way to just permanently mute.
There is actually, yes. You can set it so that when people enter the room, their mic is off and they can only turn it on if you let them. So I discovered how to do that because that's one of the joys of Zoom. It's constantly learning new things about how it works. I mean, they updated a lot too. Like now I've got all kinds of, they gave us new emojis and everything.
How do you usually take call outs?
Well, I will. So in the virtual, well, if you were seeing us live, we would just get them directly from you, the audience. If we're in a virtual setting, it's a little trickier. There is a chat function on Zoom and people can just type their suggestion into the chat. We will be watching the chat to try and pull from it as the show goes on. We were originally taking the call outs from people who were on Facebook, but there's about a 20-second lag between Zoom and Facebook. So like we'd ask for a call out. And by the time they hear us ask for a call out, it's already been like 15 seconds in our time. And so then it takes another time for us to react to their call, to what they've suggested. So it was not efficient. So we've gone to inviting people into the Zoom room with us where we can get their call outs immediately and whatnot. So that will be the 24th. And there will be a Facebook event I hope to have up over this weekend. And there will be a Zoom link available. Like I said, you won't be able to talk to us You won't be able to, I'll be disabling your audio. It's anyone who joins us, but people are welcome to join us. It's going to be a special show. It's kind of Halloween themed. We're going to have a seance, sort of. We're developing a game that's based around the concept of a seance. We're pretty happy with how it's going. We think it's going
to
be fun.
I'm going to have to check that out to see who you contact.
I hope you come there as well. It'd be great to have you in our audience.
How did you get into comedy?
How did I get into comedy? Well, I got to comedy through theater. I started doing just community theater when I was about 10 or 11. And so I was doing that for a long time. And then when I was about 17, I was in a play called 1984, based on the George Orwell novel. It's a very depressing play. So everyone in the cast sort of like developed a really good sense of humor backstage to keep ourselves sort of not depressed. And the thing was, though, that the show had we put the show on in November of 2001. We put it on roughly a couple months after 9/11. I actually remember that because we came into rehearsal and the director was just like, we have thought long and hard about this and we're going to still do the show. but after 9/11, no one was really, no one was like, you know what I want to go see right now? It's a play about a dystopian authoritarian future. Not many people came to see it, and the Antic lost money on it. And a few people in the cast were like, came up with an idea to put on an improv show to try and get back the money that had not been recouped on the show. I actually was invited to be part of the group at that point, but I was busy with a lot of things and I didn't really know what it was. And so I just sort of, the email got lost or forgotten. And then a few months later, I get a call up and they're like, and because I know everyone who's in the group, because I was in 1984 with them. Because the cast of PNR originally started out as primarily, almost everyone who was in PNR originally was either in Antic's production of 1984 or Antic's production of MASH. So I knew everyone.
Both very uplifting topics.
Yeah. I knew everyone, but I hadn't been in MASH, so some of them were new to me. But they invited me to come run their concessions and box office. And I was like, okay, that sounds like, I'm not doing anything this Saturday. That sounds like fun. So I went and I saw it and I loved it. It was hilarious and fun. And it was the most, I wanted in immediately. And I was like, you guys gotta let me in on this. And so eventually they did. And so I joined and I've basically been doing improv since I was about 17.
Wow.
Yeah, there were some periods of where I was less active, but it's been relatively consistent. I also got into stand up in college, and I've been doing comedy for a while now. I feel old.
Old, I feel old too, because I remember seeing you when you first started doing PNR.
That's fair. That's fair. I remember you being there. So that's fair. Like there was something I saw on Facebook today that made me feel super old. I forget what it was. A lot of time has passed, but I keep doing comedy, and because it's the thing I'm good at. It's the thing where I find myself most in a place that makes sense for me when I'm doing comedy, especially comedy with other people. I mean, like, I love doing stand-up. It's a lot of fun. But there's something about being on stage or even in a Zoom show with other people where you're interacting and working with each other and bouncing off each other comedically. That it's just, it's satisfying even when there aren't a ton of laughs. And that's not something I can say about stand-up. stand up. It's that when you're show, like when you do an improv show, it's possible to get like a very mixed reaction from your audience and still be like, but I feel pretty good about what we did. But like when I do a stand-up show and there's like crickets, it's kind of like, well, this is going to be a hellish 5 minutes before I can get off stage. So like that is an interesting difference between the two forms of comedy.
Now, being with doing the digital version, mm-hmm. like it's hard, you don't really hear for listen for laugh.
Like, it's true, you can't.
I've seen a couple of your stand-up pieces that have been on the in the electric pressure cooker from Wandering Aesthetics.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the same way. You've got you record your 5 minutes and you're talking to nobody.
Oh yeah. Doing comedy for Zoom is it's very difficult doing comedy for people you don't know if they're laughing. It's a very it's surreal. Because you're just you're like you just put it out there and you're like, I hope people are laughing at this, but you don't really know. Like actually, the first electric pressure cooker I did once they did them online. Like I remember, like however I was watching it, like I wasn't seeing the comments, so like I had no idea if people thought what I was doing was funny or not. It was very nerve wracking. Eventually, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can, how much of this I can watch, but because I didn't know, like because it's just me watching myself. And I'm not laughing at myself. I'm just being like critical.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's very different. It's a very different experience being online. But I've done enough online things now to know that some people are definitely enjoying it. People still need entertainment. People still want to have that sort of collective experience of watching something with other people. And I think that's important. And virtually, it might not be as virtually. It doesn't give me quite necessarily the same. What's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't give me necessarily the same like energy, I guess, for lack of a more precise term. But it's still important to continue to create. I think it's still important to put yourself out there artistically. It's still important to remind people that you're still creating and to create. And if people get enjoyment out of it, then that's your job is done, because that's what you do entertainment for, is to create enjoyment. At least that's why I do it. That is the thing I'm best at. So I don't have any other applicable skills. This is it. No.
Well, when you look at it, at the beginning of quarantine, there was so many people making bread, and there were so many people doing crafts that they had never done before. Mm-hmm. They were finding the skill that they enjoyed, mm-hmm. and you and the other improvers, they have comedy, and they have acting, and you're using the skill to make the world better in some way, just like everyone else was.
God, I hope so. You know, that's... I hope so. Like there's, I don't know. There's a disconnect. It's a disconnect with anything that's online. And, which is weird, cause I'm online all the time looking at stuff, but like, there's a weird, like, I don't know. It's not the same, but it is, but I still think it's important to do. I still think it's important to constantly be pushing that envelope. And I mean, like, honestly, like in many ways, virtual entertainment is probably the future anyways. Not that I think live entertainment will eventually, not that I think live entertainment will ever stop. I think live entertainment is just so visceral to the human experience that we're going to continue to do it. But virtual entertainment is probably in many ways a large portion of the future with VR and streaming services. We're moving more and more in this direction of virtual entertainment.
I think that sort of started a while back with Fandango events, you know, where they'd record plays from across the country and then just, you know, stream them to the different theaters.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's Fandango and Fathom. Does that too, I think. They would stream them to movie theaters. That's a cool idea. It's a shame movie theaters aren't doing that.
True.
Movie theaters can't take advantage of that right now, unfortunately. I feel bad for movie theaters. Because I love movies. And actually, I love going to the movie theater. It's been brutal. It's been brutal to go a year without going to the movies.
Yeah, I saw a movie at Regal 2 days before they closed.
Wow. Yeah.
Got the entire theater to myself and my friend.
I did go to the drive-in a few times over the summer. That was nice.
And drive-ins seem to be really thriving right now.
Well, I mean, it's the only real, it's the only vaguely safe way to go see a movie in a theater right now. I mean, movie theaters are trying hard. I will give them that. I have been, I did go see Tenet in a theater.
That was what I saw too.
Yeah, no, Tenet, Tenet was worth it. I went to the Highland, and Highland seemed to be doing a really nice job of trying to keep it safe. Highland does have the benefit of being huge. Just the theater seating area is huge. But they did seem to be doing a pretty good job of keeping people far away from each other. So that was nice. I won't get into that too much, but I do feel like there has been a little bit too much of a rush to get back to normal. I don't think it's necessarily being taken seriously all the time. But yeah, sorry, I've gotten sidetracked here now.
Like you were saying before, though, virtual seems to be the future for getting entertainment.
It does. A friend of mine is very into virtual reality, and he's been telling me all about how that's changing and like all the new innovations that are coming through on that. And I mean, yeah, I do think that, what's going on, like right here, like this Zoom call, like this is a step towards that. Like all Zoom calls are a step towards that, a step towards a virtual interaction. Right now I teach, I teach a lot of online virtual classes actually through CADA, the Center for Applied Drama and Autism, which by the way, we're going to have new classes starting next year. If anyone out there knows someone with a disability or has a disability and they would like to learn about theater and the arts, please check out the Center for Applied Drama and Autism on the internet or Facebook. We'd love to help you learn about any of those things. But I teach classes virtually right now. And it's a different experience. It's actually very rewarding to get out there and be teaching again. I forgot what I was going to say about that. But like, oh, that's right. When I'm teaching, when I was teaching classes for CADA in person, my students would always be like within the area. Someone typically from Akron, maybe as far away as Ravenna at the most, that type of thing. But in our virtual classes, we're teaching people from Columbus, teaching people. I have someone in my class from Utah right now. And we've even had, in some of our other classes, we've had people from India have come along to take the classes. Specifically, CADA teaches some teacher classes, teach you how to teach people theater with disabilities. And we had people who logged in from India to learn how to help people on the spectrum and with disabilities with theater. And it's really been very enlightening to see how like this type of technology can allow us to expand our reach out to other artists and people who need services all over the world, really. So yeah, I do think virtual is the future. I think live entertainment will recover. I think it's just a thing that people like viscerally need, but I do think virtual stuff is the future.
Just hopefully things start, you know, dying down that we can have live entertainment.
I mean, that
here, at least
hope.
By next year.
I'm hoping sometime next year to be back. Oh, that reminds me. I never said what time the show was on the 24th.
Yes, please.
It's our regular time, 7:30 on Saturday. It will be shorter than our regular shows. I don't think virtual shows need to be super long. PNR, the 24th of this month. next, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. When is this coming out?
Will this, come this out isn't coming out until the it won't be out till probably the 22nd.
Okay, so this Saturday, Ghost, sign on to Facebook to watch this show. If you're listening to this after that Saturday, I'm sorry, you missed it. But oh, while I'm just plugging things, I don't have the date on the top of my head for this one, but Center for Applied Drama and Autism is going to be having a virtual murder mystery called Murder at the Podcast. That's a fundraiser for us, and that's going to be December 5th. Okay. December 5th. Kata's Murder at the Podcast Murder Mystery, which will feature acting from both students and teachers of the organization, will be December 5th. Wonderful. And for a good cause, I hope people check that out. I do not have the time, but this information will be coming out on Facebook as it approaches. But yeah, check it out, Center for Applied Drama Autism on Facebook. Should have all the information you need. Yeah. All right.
So you've got quite a few shows coming out.
I do, which actually vaguely surprised me. Like, I'm so used to not having anything at this point, just for how this year is going. But yeah, hopefully there'll also be probably do at least one or two more PNR shows before the year is over. I don't have the dates for those yet because we're kind of keeping it fluid. What we've been doing recently is we've been doing whatever is the second show we had scheduled for the month is what we've been doing. We're probably going to continue on that pattern. Cause like if you go to our website, it says we have a show for the 24th. Just that show is going to be virtual now. But we haven't been doing the first shows of the month. So if you look at our online schedule, don't pay attention to the first show of the month. Cause the schedule is, something we set up prior to COVID.
Set up for live shows.
Yeah, well, they were set up for live shows, but we are semi-keeping to that schedule.
So then if people are looking forward to checking out a Point of No Return show, be sure to check out your Facebook then.
I do recommend checking out the Facebook page currently. That is probably the best way to keep up on our upcoming shows. Yeah, Facebook. That's the easiest thing to just tell people now. Facebook, Point of No Return Improv, Facebook, Center for Applied Drama and Autism, Facebook page. Go there. Got all the good stuff.
Perfect. And if anyone's looking for anything else, any other types of shows that that you're going to be in the future, is there anywhere they can find those? Or
well, if they're PNR shows, we're going to continue to put those up on the Facebook. If they're Center for Applied Drama and Autism, also, once again, going to be on the Facebook and Center for Applied Drama and Autism's website. I do have a Facebook page, Ruben Ryan. I don't keep it up very well, I won't lie. I'm not good at any of that.
You got a lot of shows to do.
But as I do have shows to do, I will post them to that if people want to check that out. You can also find me on Instagram or Twitter under Son of Hippies is my handle on those two. Although, to be fair, I don't post a lot to Instagram, and my Twitter account normally just consists of me talking about comic book movies and subtle cries for help. But yeah, you got any other questions?
No, that's about it. Thank you for being on the show this week.
Oh, always a pleasure.
And I hope everyone checks out PNR this weekend.
Well, thank you for having me, Bart. It's known you for a long time. I'm glad to be on your podcast. How many episodes have you got so far?
This episode will be number 20.
Oh, wow. Nice. So you got a decent number up there. How long have you been doing it?
We started it beginning of July.
Okay. So around the... So COVID inspired. Gotcha. No, like what's hilarious is that like two of the improv groups I was in both had great write ups right before everything got shut down. The Devil Strip actually interviewed me for PNR, and then actually a different writer for Oh, wait, or was that News Press? I'm confused.
Fool's News Press has written quite a bit, I know.
Yeah, and but I know Devil Strip did at least one of the groups I was in. But the point is I did two interviews for really nice write-ups that the papers did that came out like a month or two before everything just shut down. And it was like, well, you got all this good press just before I had to cancel everything. So yay! Well, yeah.
But yeah, we're going to keep up the show, and yeah. It's been a good way to provide the news faster than an article can get out.
Yeah.
No, but we're still keeping up the articles, so.
Yeah. I mean, podcasts are probably the future, too, let's be honest. But yeah, no, I'm happy that it sounds like your podcast is doing good. So that's cool. Okay. Yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on.
All right. Cool.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress or @falls_free on Twitter or Instagram. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Alex Hall. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so that they can listen as well.